I don't know why, but I'm always dry when I start to give a sermon here. I'm dry, yeah, when I give a song, quite frankly, so you want to be careful of that, for sure. One thing I am thankful for, too, and I forgot to mention in my prayer, and that's the fact that the Mixtor family is here today, and they helped us out this morning, so I'm glad you guys are here. Okay, you guys are caught with me, and I see some vacancies down here, and I guess the word must have got out that I was going to give the sermon, because, golly, there's a few vacant pews out there. So I guess that's their loss, and we'll just have to go on that basis. Our church secretary, Mary Ann, called me right around the 1st of November, and she said she was just finishing up the beacon and asked, what's the title of the message that you will be delivering later on this month? And I was a little bit, I knew I was going to be given a message, but I hadn't got the title quite sorted out yet. So I said, hey, give me an hour, I said. I need to pray about it a little bit, see if the good Lord can help me out and come through with an appropriate message. And just need some additional thought on the subject. So you guys know that Colossians 3, I think you may have heard me talk about that before, I'm not sure. But that is one of the one of my most favorite verses, quite frankly. I think there's a ton of message in there in Colossians 3 that we as Christians need to live by. So I thought I'd utilize Colossians 3 and also Ephesians. So I wanted to come up with sort of a catchy title, and the title I kind of thought of was Living Life 9 to 5. And I asked Randy if he'd sing one stanza for us. Remember, he said no. He said he might get Cheryl to do it, and I don't think she wanted to do it. If anybody wants to try it, you know, we can try it. I'm not going to sing it, but something goes something like this, although I've changed the verbiage a little bit. Working 9 to 5, promoting Christian living. Working 9 to 5, God is always forgiving. And there's some more words in there that I won't go ahead and elaborate on, but, you know, it's fun for me anyway to take songs and create different messages with them. I use one on the Bison Roundup, Happy Trails to You, and I talk about thanks for the, you know, the memories, thanks for the bison on the range, and that sort of thing. So I just have a good time with that sort of thing when I'm involved with a lot of folks out there, and I think half the folks think I'm crazy. Maybe that's why there's vacancies here this morning. I'm not sure what the situation is. But how many of you have ever heard of Dolly Parton? She's the one that sang that song and made it popular. She's a country western singer, and she has some really nice spiritual songs, and she has, you know, the more contemporary type songs too. But she sold millions and millions of songs, records, and working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, was one of those great ones that she really capitalized on. And I just changed the verbiage a little bit to fit the title here this morning. Being a Christian in the workplace sometimes is not easy. It can vary considerably with the type of work one is doing. One is constantly being bombarded, tempted, and challenged to do things Christians ought not to do. And some people can really get under our skin, and if we are not careful, we can react very unchristian-like. I've been lucky with my job, DNR. You know, the world's a stage there for me. If I want to, you know, talk about Christianity, I'd say, just come on outdoors. Look around a little bit. Look at the sun. You look at the moon, the stars. Look at the beauty of the landscape around us and those critters. Of course, I love those critters as a wildlife biologist. But think about how they are so diverse. Think about, you know, some lay eggs, some have live, births and that sort of thing. And just, I ask them, people, how and not believe that Christ is not our creator, that he created everything for us. And I've been pretty lucky in that respect. And I have to admire my daughter. She's a doctor, and she uses a lot of spiritual medicine, too. I mean, she comes with prescriptions and advice and that sort of thing. But I often have heard her with people that have been in our house, and I didn't know it at the time that they were patients, but I've often heard her say, and we will bless you, pray for you, and just be with the Spirit when it comes to any healing that might need to be going on. So there are jobs out there that allow good opportunities for that. Some jobs, perhaps in the manufacturing industry or other jobs out there, just don't allow quite as many good opportunities, but they do afford us with opportunities given the right circumstances. Did you ever think about the vast workplace that God works in? Wow. That is the entire universe and all of humanity. The humanity part's going to be the most difficult. And think about how he continues to give his grace and forgiveness, time after time after time for our sins. He forgives us, but the next thing you know, we're out there doing something else, committing a sin that we're not supposed to. And yet if we ask for forgiveness, he'll do it again. Thanks be to God for his patience and perseverance, that he indulges us with that forgiveness. So the questions become, how can we live a life in a way that glorifies God from 9 to 5? Now don't get me wrong, 9 to 5 is not enough. We need to glorify God 24/7 whenever the opportunity is afforded to us, as he glorifies us with thanks and forgiveness 24/7. There are many people in the Bible who really work their hearts out in every waking moment for God, telling how we can secure life everlasting. Some of those folks are Nehemiah. We've been studying Nehemiah now in the early morning Bible study. And he prayed constantly and accomplished a good deal for the Lord. Job, the other Bible study, that's people were studying that. He was really a good person out there and spread the news and the message. Isaiah. We're looking at Isaiah right now in the Wednesday night Bible study. Wow, there's a lot of information and words in there for us to live by. Perhaps the number one person, at least in my estimation, in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. All these folks worked patiently every hour possible, spreading the gospel and the good news, proclaiming the word of God to all, telling us how we might be able to secure life everlasting. Here are a few examples from Paul's many books in the Bible. They are all of a single but very awesome theme of bringing people to God through his forgiving Son, Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, Paul identifies problems in the Corinthian church. He offers solutions and teaches believers how to suffer for Christ in a corrupt society. We maybe should have Paul come back and work with us a little bit when it comes to some of the corruption that's going on in the world today. In Galatians, his message is to call Christians to faith and freedom in Christ. In Ephesians, Paul encourages, he wants us to strengthen the believers in Christian faith by explaining the nature and purpose of the church, the body of Christ. The message in Ephesians, I will elaborate a little bit later on as I get down to the rest of the message. In the book of Colossians, my favorite again, one of them anyway, and that's being to combat the errors in the church and to show that believers, those with the Holy Spirit, have everything they need in Christ. I'll talk more about Colossians a little bit later on, but meanwhile, back to Ephesians, living 9 to 5 in the workplace. In Ephesians 6, it's kind of interesting how this place, instead of 9 to 5, it says in Ephesians 6, 5 to 9, thought that was kind of coincidental, maybe, maybe not. I'm going to paraphrase these verses from the footnotes in the Life Application Bible. This Life Application Bible was given to me by Helen Anderson. Many people don't know her, but she was a former faithful member of the Clear Lake Church, and she's very generous. I think Chris got a Life Application Bible as well from her. Paul's instructions encourage responsibility and integrity on the job. Christian employees should perform our jobs as if Jesus Christ were our boss and supervisor. He has to be that if we are trying to profess the word to other Christians. Christians' employers should treat their employees with fairness and with respect. As employees, Christians should be entrusted to work and do their enthusiastic best. And if we are an employer, we must treat our employees as people, not machines. We must always remember who we work for and who works for us. However, the one that we all may have to answer to is, and please, is our Father in heaven. Although Christians may be at different levels in their earthly life, we are all equal before God. God does not play favorites. No one is more important than anyone else. Whether we are white-collar or blue-collar workers, or whether we are bosses, whether we're the president or the house cleaner, we are all equal brothers and sisters in God's eyes. In Ephesians, Scripture talks about slaves and masters. And slaves and masters in Roman Empire, that was sort of the social structure out there. It was a little different than the slavery situation that occurred in America. So that was part of the just the way the empire worked out there. But there were millions of slaves. Nowhere in the Bible is slavery condoned, or for that matter, nowhere is it condemned. Ephesians 6:5 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters." Obey. Many times we don't like that word. If we are the ones that have to obey others, however, we like it when we're the ones that give the instruction and the orders, when we're the ones dishing out the assignments that others have to do. I presume that many of you have had or have a boss that you have taken instructions from. In Romans 13, it states that there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do could bring judgment upon themselves. Another question. Are you and I, doing our best for whoever we work for? Do not seek to undermine the boss, but hear what he or she has to say. And then, as the bumper sticker says, get her done. We need to do the job that was been given to us without complaining. We complain a little bit in DNR once in a while. And actually, we complain about the governor once in a while, too, which we shouldn't have been doing, but we did. He's the ultimate boss in the state government, but ultimately, our main boss is the good Lord in heaven. Certain jobs can be very difficult for certain people. It is okay to look for another job when things aren't quite right or fair, but be sure that when we do, that we are ready to obey the instructions from the new person and most certainly obey and glorify the Lord. This is all part of God's plan for us. There's a favorite hymn out there, and we talked a little bit about that in men's group the other night. Trust and obey. There's no other way. That is critical when it comes to our Savior. Really, trust, obey, and faith are some of the most important ingredients in a Christian's life, and we must take these with us where we go 24/7. Get paid for work? That's no, a novel idea. It seems like there's been a trend, you know, to sort of reach your hand out to the government. Things that are going on, sometimes people don't think they want to work. They don't necessarily like to work, and if they can get the government handout, why, you know, they're pretty satisfied with that. And that trend's been happening for the last couple decades or so. We've lost some ground on this working, this question about working for pay, and more for that we need to continue to work spiritually for the Lord, and I think we've lost ground there as well. Satan has to be pretty happy when this trend is going on. Every day can be a struggle. Sin is looking right square at us in the eye, and it's easy to veer off the path that we need not veer off of. We must learn to pray constantly, and that's one thing in Nehemiah, when we were studying Nehemiah, that gentleman was in constant prayer. I mean, there was things going on all the time. He was in constant prayer to accomplish the things that the Lord wanted him to do. We must keep our eye on Jesus and our ear to the Lord. Find a job that we like. Accomplish what we're hired to do for the glory of God. Now, what about on-the-job evangelist? You know, some people, I guess, wince a little bit about that. Again, in DNR, it was pretty easy to do because step outside and you can't help but be an evangelist with the beautiful, awesome creation that he has made for us and all those other critters that he created, and plants and animals and the flowers and the pumpkins and the whole gamut out there. In the Christian world, our work is a very fertile mission field, and we should take advantage of that when the opportunities present themselves. We must not lose any opportunity to be passionate for Jesus Christ. It can be a wonderful, rewarding, and awesome experience when we bring others to know and to come to the Lord. It's happened a time or two in the DNR, although some of those folks out there are pretty good too, and there's another gentleman in the office that we really put the full court press on some of the folks when they started talking about non-Christian things and you know how that all fits into the scheme of things. And it was a joy when we got through with our sort of, I guess, advertisement for the good Lord. As with Paul and many others in the Bible, we must be ready to capitalize on divine opportunities. I am a great believer in divine opportunities. And Joe talked about that there in the caring center about divine opportunities cropping up all the time. She's thinking she wanted some of different things for people that unwed mothers that were expecting and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, somebody's knocking at the door bringing things like that. So the prayer and divine opportunities certainly worked out well for her as it works out for everyone. We need to do that 9 to 5. We need to do it at other times as well. Our testimonies as Christians will be enhanced by our work ethics. Now, it doesn't hurt for us to maybe, look respectable, maybe wear appropriate attire, that sort of thing. That in itself will tell other folks that we want to get to that, it's a good step when it comes to Christianity and being a good Christian. So I think we have to take advantage of those opportunities. Well, you can wear chains and have piercings all over and tattoos all over, but it's not going to cut very much, most of the time at least, when it comes to trying to promote Christianity. Ephesians 6:7 says to serve wholeheartedly, as though we were serving the Lord himself and not men. Perhaps serving wholeheartedly, the boss, can be the most difficult of our job behavior. It can truly be more difficult without that relationship with God. Serving wholeheartedly means that we are going above and beyond the call of duty, that we are going to go that extra mile because that is what Jesus wants us to do, going beyond what is expected of us. Probably the very best example in Scripture, again, is the Apostle Paul himself. Think about the many journeys he took and about the imprisonment and the stoning that occurred once in a while, and the guy just kept right on plugging through there and kept promoting the good Lord and the good news and the word and telling others that, they got to shape up or they're in for some pretty hardship times. As a sort of a wrap-up of today's message, I'm going to forward to Colossians 3. Hey, I made it to Colossians 3. Again and again and again. It can be used in so many situations. You can say the verses there, and I guess it applies almost to, hour by hour if you really stop and think about it a little bit. It's a very favorite of mine, as I've already told you, and it has the broadest of implications. Chapter 3 is subtitled, What a Christian Should Do, The Principles of Christian Living. And I want to jump to 3:12, and I think, Tabitha, I may have some slides coming up here now. I caught Tabitha a little bit off guard because I do have a few extra slides here, and I'm in a situation where I can't see them for sure, but we'll pop up to, let's see. Paul offers this strategy for Christian living and application of these words are good, whatever our circumstances may be. Since you have been chosen, you and I, by God, who has given us a new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for us, we should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness. Now, tender-hearted mercy and kindness, that's always jumping through my mind when I think of Colossians 3. And I fall short sometimes. I need to do better. I think we all have to strive to do the best we can in that situation. So we need to practice tenderhearted mercy and kindness for all that we encounter. Again, God has no favorites. So anyone out there, we need to practice that tenderhearted mercy and kindness. Don't worry necessarily about making a good impression other than your appearance and the things that you want to see, but be ready to suffer quietly. If the person's out there struggling, you need to suffer with that person a little bit. You need to be patient with that person. And yet you need to continue to march down the path to hopefully eventually lead to prayer and bringing those folks around to the good Lord. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Otherwise, we need to imitate Christ's merciful, forgiving spirit. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave us, so we must forgive others. Realize that God's infinite, undying love and grace and forgiveness can help us love and forgive others. Most of all, and I think this is key to everything, let love be our guide. I like to refer to GPS as God's positioning system. He's ready to position us in a place where we can really serve him well and bring others to come and know the Lord. And let that love work with the whole church, the body of Christ. And we will stay together in perfect harmony. You got to love the word harmony, too. That's what we need to strive for. Obviously, what the world needs now is some harmony. Obviously, what Congress and the Senate and the President, and it just goes on, needs is a little peace and harmony. This does not mean that we don't have differences in opinion. Such love is not a feeling, but a decision. A decision to meet halfway and to meet others' needs. It will lead to peace between individuals and harmony among the many members of the body of believers, the church, and the body of Christ. Let the peace of heart which comes from Christ be always present in our hearts and lives. For this is our responsibility and privilege, and as members of his body, we need to strive forth with that. Another translation of this verse is let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. Paul tells us to let Christ's centerpiece, the peace itself, be the umpire in our hearts and always be ready to give thanks. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. But again, we need to always be ready every day. Remember what Christ taught and let his words give us wisdom and enrich our lives. And may whatever we say and do be representative of our Lord Jesus. And may we come with him into the presence of God the Father to give him our thanks. Thanksgiving needs to be every day. And whether it be 9 to 5 or any other time as Christians, we must represent Christ at all times, wherever we go, whatever we do, and whatever we see. Now remember those lyrics, those new lyrics that I thought I might, you know, start the new tune for Dolly to sing someday? Working 9 to 5. Well, working 9 to 5, let's tell others about Christian living. Working 9 to 5, let's tell them about all of God's forgiving. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, opportunities. Divine opportunities we need to capitalize on. Opportunities that occur out there, again, whether it be in the workplace, 9 to 5, or whether it be somewhere else. Help us to strive for that peace and harmony and to carry the good news so that others can come to know thee and love thee and as you have loved and forgiven us. And Father, during this Thanksgiving season, again, we are so thankful for the bountiful blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and may we be worthy of receiving them, and may we utilize them again to bring others to you. We ask these things in thy risen Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Clear Lake Christian Church offers opportunities for anyone that wants to come forth and maybe kneel or pray, or somebody will pray with you, or if you have a reason to come forward, maybe join the church. We certainly open that opportunity as well during this time frame. If there's anyone out there that would like to come forth, you may do so now. And if not, I just want to reiterate again, there's something about this Horn of Plenty, whether it's this one or someone else or picture one or whatever, that I really see a lot of good message in that. I mean, think about that first Thanksgiving that the folks had. They come across the ocean there and battered storm and everything else, having food when they got there. They got there, they started dying of a disease and that sort of thing, and yet they found time to be thankful, as we should. Always be thankful to our Lord and Savior for the many wonderful blessings, for the bounty that he has bestowed upon us. Let us pray. I forgot one other thing I had in my hand here. I don't know why I forgot, but it's not unusual for me, I guess. If you haven't seen this, and some of you have, but I always get a really good feeling about this check. It's from the Bank of Heaven. Whosoever believeth, you refer to John 3:16, and you will get the sum of eternal life, and it'll be paid in full by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he died on the cross for us. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank thee for the many bountiful blessings you have bestowed upon us. We thank thee for opportunity after opportunity that you give us, and sometimes we don't heed, to carry the good news to others so that they too can come to know and appreciate your bounty, your blessings, and thy son's forgiveness. We ask these things in our risen Savior's name. Amen.